So most of y'all are familiar with the high-speed roller jetting work that the New Mexico Gym Lab has done. And a couple years ago when they closed the Clemson lab, I got a phone call from Ed Hughes, and he said, as soon as you get the equipment from Clemson moved into New Orleans, this is your project. I want you to do this. We were doing it at Clemson. We were making good progress, you know, because we've really beaten the roller jetting part to death. We know the quality improvements from high-speed roller jetting, but if the textile side, the mills aren't going to buy it, then, you know, the ginners aren't going to adopt it. So we did some processing. Carlos and Ned sent me three different Upland cottons. They were supposed to send in the Kayla 1517. There were apparently some issues with that last year, so that's coming this year whenever they actually harvest it. it's still in the ground. But we also have a Pima, for this, which is another part of this project, but we're just going to talk about the Upland cottons here. And obviously two ginning methods, roller ginning and saw ginning. For the spinning, though, we push this kind of hard for where you would put Upland cottons. 36s, realizing this is not a textile community, that's a finer count yarn. That's not where you're usually going to find what they call carded yarn. And if you are going to have carded yarn, which is less processed yarn, it's going to have to be really high-quality cotton. Usually it's going to go through a combing process, so that's why we have combed 36s and combed 50s, which is a really fine count yarn. That's really, you're into the Pima market and definitely into the Kayla market at that point. But combing's a bit of an issue for a textile mill because it takes three or four additional processing steps, and there's a lot more waste involved, and it's just complicated, and not many mills do it in the U.S. More mills do it overseas, but you need to do it for higher quality. Ginning data, you guys aren't surprised by this. You've seen this before. You do have slightly higher turnout with roller gin and with the high-speed roller gin than the saw gin, but we also know that some of that might be due to that leaf grade there, of slightly higher leaf grade on average for the roller gin over the saw gin. There is a little bit more trash, and that's due to the lint cleaning. You know, right now we're certainly not going to take that roller gin cotton that we worked so hard to preserve, that length increase, that 40 staple versus 38 staple on average for this project. And that lower short fiber and higher uniformity, and then run through a solid lint cleaner and get the trash out and tear that fiber up. APHIS holds true, showing there's less short fiber, obviously, in the roller gin, and there's longer fiber length. And if you look at the what's called VFM, visible foreign matter, there is 1.9% on average visible foreign matter versus 1.5%. So, again, there is more trash in the roller gin. Not real surprising there. And we do Shirley Analyzer. In my career, we didn't do a lot of Shirley Analyzer, and when I started doing more work with New Mexico, Ed said, I like Shirley Analyzer, so it gets a workout now. So we do it. And what's interesting here, though, is you look at that, we had about a 2.5% greater turnout at the gin. Shirley Analyzer, though, shows we had about 95.3% lint for the roller gin and 96.6% for the saw gin. That's only 1.3. That doesn't account for all the extra turnout of the roller gin. Again, we know it produces longer, more uniform cotton with less short fiber. We know it has more non-lint content, but what does it mean, especially in the process? So we decide process it. That's not my mill. That is actually a mill about 4 hours down the road from here that's running a whole lot of U.S. cotton. So we decide put it through its paces, looking at a couple of different issues. One is yarn quality. If we can't make good, uniform, strong yarn, it's not very useful. At the same time, if we can't make that yarn efficiently, no ends downs, just a higher throughput, you know, it's not going to work. In the U.S., the U.S. textile industry survives by efficiency. And then flexibility. If I'm paying a premium for a cotton, I need to be able to be more flexible with it, which means a wider variety of yarn counts, a wider variety of speeds that I can produce that, a wider variety of yarn twist. Lower twist generally means less strength, but means significantly higher production rates. And then again, as mentioned, we talk about combing. It's an additional process to remove the short fiber, and it's used to produce higher quality yarn. And one of the original ideas of this project, and I'll give a little bit of a preview, didn't exactly work, is could we make combed quality yarn without combing? Short answer, no, but there's a little bit more to that story. So looking at our carding efficiency, so we lose a lot of material in the card room in the mill because we're taking out all the non-lint content that we can because you don't want that in your fabric. We're taking out a lot of the short fiber. We're taking out neps. We're taking out all sorts of stuff. So for the saw gin, we did have a little bit more turnout, 83.5% versus 83 for the roller gin. But again, if you look at that non-lint content difference, that half percent doesn't account for that. So the roller gin does seem to be putting more lint actually in that bale, which is a good thing. Then we took the spinning. That is our spinning mill. And this is kind of a busy slide, but so we did two types of carded and combed yarns. We did 36s for carded and combed and just 50s for combed. And this is just the average of all the saw gin and all the roller gin upland. For CV, that's our uniformity. You want a uniform yarn, otherwise your fabric will have dye variation through it, and that's not good, especially on the high end. This doesn't look like a big difference, 20.1 versus 19.9 for uniformity. Lower is better, but that 0.2 is significant to a textile mill. Across the board, the roller gin produced slightly better yarn. For the combed, that 0.2% improvement is still there on uniformity, and again, it's still a slightly stronger yarn. It's a better yarn. And when we go to the 50s, it starts to pop a little bit more. I mean, this is really not a lot of people are going to put combed upland into 50s. And so we were really, really pushing it hard here. And you can see there the roller gin starts to really start to separate from the saw gin at that point. But what I was really interested in was the efficiency, because again, I can make good yarn if I run slow. That's easy. That's how you do it. But if I can run efficiently, I can make money at it. So I've added in our card turnout here again, just so you can look at that, 83.5% for the saw, 83 for the roller. But noil percent. Noil is what we call the material removed during combing. Now, I can adjust the comber to remove more or less. They call scratch combing. They pass it through and nothing comes out, but hey, it's combed, so legally I can call it that. It doesn't gain me anything, though, in yarn quality. So we set the combers to remove the same quality material, in theory here, and we removed consistently a little over a percent less material for the roller gin. That relates back to that APHIS data. There is a lot less short fiber. More importantly, though, is ends down. Ring spinning is a manual process. It's a labor-intensive process. When the yarn is spinning, if it breaks, it stays down until a person comes along and actually pieces it up. And a spinner frame may have a couple thousand positions. You may have one or two people watching several of these machines. It can be down for a good long while. I'm not making yarn while it's down, and that material doesn't stop feeding in. It just goes straight back to the waste pile. And you can see here, we had significantly fewer ends down at carded 36s for the roller gin than the saw gin. That means the mill is going to be able to spin more cotton, more efficiently, more economically with the roller gin than the saw gin. Now, combing, we're removing a lot of that short fiber. We remove what little trash is left. That's 64.6, 67.7. And that's average ends down over 1,000 hours. That's not really a significant difference there. But when we go to that combed 50s, that's a huge difference there. You know, a little less than 100 ends down every 1,000 hours versus 151. That's a big difference. But the combing gets kind of interesting from the research standpoint and fiber quality. What you have here is lap is the material that we feed into the comber. And then noils are removed from the comber as bad stuff, and then what I have listed there as combed is the good material going out. And again, for the saw gin, we had over a percent less waste, bad material removed. But when I look at APHIS data specifically on what was coming out in that waste, what the comber is removing, the roller gin had overall less material, but the material that removed was shorter and less good fiber was being removed. And that's kind of that's a good thing. It's all very good. We're removing less material. We're removing less good material. That's excellent. But for the life of me, I don't know why. I know why we're removing less material, but I've been consulting with a few people, including Rene Vandersloos back there. He's another textile guy, and we haven't really wrapped our head around it. But it does seem to indicate, though, there is really just a lot less short fiber in the roller gin, maybe even less than we think there is. What's coming out combed, we're going in better. We're coming out still better than that saw gin. That difference of 7.8% short fiber by weight versus 6.9 for the combed roller gin doesn't seem like much. That's a lot. This number over here is short fiber content by number. That's the actual number of fibers. Remember, short fibers weigh less, so the count, that number basis, is what's really important to a mill, and that's a pretty significant difference. So even after we comb it, it's still a better yarn, better material. So then we did some other production efficiencies. Like I said, so how fine a yarn can we spin from this material? Well, for the saw gin, for carded yarn, 38.8, that was it. At that point, we could not spin it any finer. For the roller gin, we could take it out to a 41. So that's, you know, an indication of how much better that fiber is. Production speed. Speed is money. That saw gin for doing our 36s yarn on the carded yarn, 17,000, just a hair over 17,000 RPM. And any faster than that, the spindle was just breaking the yarn. For the roller gin, 17,700. That's yards per minute. You can see here on the bottom, that 1,000 RPM is roughly a little over a yard a minute. Over 1,000 spindles on one frame, that's 1,000 yards a minute. That starts to really, really add up in a mill. For the combed, 52.8, 55 for the roller gin. So again, we can spin a finer yarn from this material. Also shows for Upland, we were really, really pushing this because about every week, Ed said, no, push it. Whatever you do, I want you to push the quality, and that's what we did. And again, for the comb yarn, we had just a hair over 1,000 RPM faster that we could produce for the roller gin. And really, for doing 50s, I don't know any commercial mill in the U.S. that is spinning 50s at 18,000 RPM. That's really kind of flying for a 50s count yarn. So then twist strength. So like I said, lower twist is higher production speed. When you sell yarn, you sell it to meet a performance specification. Mostly that performance specification is size and strength. If it's not strong enough to be woven or knit, it's a problem. So I want to run as low a twist as I can to hit the strength parameter. And you can see the roller there is in the blue. The roller at all twist levels is just consistently stronger than the saw gin cotton, and that lets me hit a stronger hit that strength target at a lower twist, meaning a higher production speed. Same for the combed 50s, and right there in this 3.6 to 3.8 range, which is really kind of the sweet spot, that difference kind of even grows a little bit more than the others are fairly linear. So, just so we can get the break, what does that tell us? Of course, like I said, we know the roller gin produces longer and more uniform cotton. But what we're hoping this, and there's a lot more data here, there'll be a paper coming out, but this is just for Beltwide. We finished testing this actually Christmas week. But we do know now that definitively, the roller ginning of the Upland cotton does let us produce at a faster yarn, stronger yarn, more efficient. And we've sent this data to a couple of ring mills, and they're very interested, and we're hoping what they're going to do is help us actually put a financial value on this, because we do understand there is a financial implication to roller ginning Upland cotton, and it's going to have to be economically viable both on the gin side and certainly the mill side for there to be some interest in this. And with 50 seconds, unless there's any questions, I'm done.
Good. Can you tell me one of the slides on the
That one? That's yarn neps. Yarn neps are not fiber neps, just for the record.
I just want to make sure
yarn neps, Bill Lawler and Ed Hughes did a lot of work. It's really related to trash. That's something we explain to mills a lot, that neps are important. Neps are a huge problem, but yarn neps, fiber neps, same name,
yeah,
not related.
Just want to make sure I understood. Chris, on card turnout, kind of used to the reverse card waste.
Yeah.
It's usually less than 10%.
That's just the card itself when they talk about card waste usually.
Okay. What's card turnout?
This is our whole line. This is our whole blow room. So just simplified it for everybody.
Gotcha.
Nice and simple. We take into account the waste that's being pieced up. Anything that came out the front end of the card, we don't consider in that waste number. And we're pretty consistent. Commercially they run.
A commercial number?
They're going to be a little better. We're set a little tighter.
They would like that, yeah.
I say that the ring guys actually, I run usually 100 pounds an hour. We ran this at 100 pounds an hour. The ring mills in the U.S., some run over 100 pounds an hour. I know one that's running 60 pounds an hour because, again, for quality, speed hurts the quality. So they look at that cost benefit of the extra time versus the quality hit and quality gains. So we try to walk a fine line in the middle.
All right.
60 pounds per hour, is that from schedule?
On a card. They're running 60 pounds an hour on a card. Ring spinning, each spindle generally holds roughly a tenth of a pound. And for something like 30s, it can take about two and a half hours per spindle to fill that spindle with a tenth of a pound. Spinning is slow. Working with the gin labs is interesting because, you know, they think nothing of, you know, on the large scale gin side, you know, they can send me a whole bunch of treatments in one day's work. The micro gin with Rick, you know, they can send me 30 lots in a day. And I'm like, okay, I'll see you in 6 months. Because it's just, carding is one step, drawing's another step. It's just, this project here, we worked on for probably about 4 or 5 months in our mill every day to crank this out. So it's processing slow.
All right, let's give Chris a hand.